Hello, everyone, and welcome to Vanished Chicagoland Stories, the podcast. I'm your host, Pete Castanes, and this is episode 6. And this show will be brought to you by Marathon Chocolate Candy Bar.
I am Tweak Lord! I do everything fast!
Marathon John, you can't eat a Marathon candy bar fast. Quick Claude, it lasts a good long time.
I show you milk chocolate, delicious caramel, and chewy.
Told you, nobody eats a Marathon bar quick, Claude.
Marathon lasts a good long time.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
And we are back. I'm glad you enjoyed the commercial. It was Marathon Bar. Always did that all the time when I was a kid. It was one of my favorite candy bars. Anyway, today we'll be talking about a few things. First off, yesterday I posted a TV guide from the Chicago Daily News, and it was celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Gothic soap opera Dark Shadows that ended on April 2nd, 1971. And when I posted that, a lot of people saw it and they remember watching the show when they came home from school. It aired on, I believe, at first 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Channel 7. It was the station was called WBKB, and then in around October 1968, it changed from WLS TV on Channel 7. I never watched the show when it aired because I was very young, and the show started from June 27th, 1966. And the first memory of seeing the show, well, actually, the first memory was about the show was the television commercial for the Barnabas Collins board game, which was based on the character on the soap opera that was portrayed by Jonathan Frid. And I was living in South Shore neighborhood at the time, and I saw the commercial on TV for the first time. And when I saw Barnabas Collins bare his fangs at a woman, that put me over the edge. It disturbed me so much. I couldn't sleep for about maybe 2 or 3 days. And that was my first exposure about Dark Shadows, was that commercial. And then later on, I caught the end credits of the show. And that's what I remember. And I remember the music. It was eerie. It would scare you. So later on, when I got older and I moved away, the show started going to syndication. I think it started about 74, 75, 76, and it started airing on WFLD TV channel 32 around 75. And that was the first time I saw the show. And they only aired the episodes featuring Barnabas Collins. It's probably the black and white, and then it converted to color. And it was a great lineup at the time when I watched the show. There was also The Honeymooners and Night Gallery. And Dark Shadows aired at 11 o'clock. And once I started watching it, I was hooked. I loved it. I still do. My brother watched it with me, and he loved the show. And then it aired for quite a while, and I think it stopped probably when the episode went into color. That's what I've been told, or what I heard. And a lot of people were disappointed. And I remember watching, when I was waiting for the next episode, there was an announcement said that Dark Shadows will not be airing anymore on Channel 32, which was, a lot of people were disappointed, and so was I. So the next time I started watching it was in 1992, when the Sci-Fi Channel started airing, and they had the reruns of science fiction, horror shows, and movies. And it was a pretty good channel. I didn't get the Sci-Fi Channel right away. I started watching the show on that in around 1995 when I moved. And once I heard, I started recording on my VCR. Started recording the episodes, and it was right about the time where Victoria Winters entered in the past and first met Barnabas Collins. And he was not a vampire. He was just an ordinary guy. And I was waiting for the scary stuff to happen, but it really didn't. So I just recorded every day. I believe it aired two episodes in the morning, Monday through Friday. And that ended about maybe the late 90s. They stopped airing it. So around 1989 and 1990, Dark Shadows was released on video, on VHS. And I remember seeing a segment on Entertainment Tonight where Jonathan Frid was signing autographs and promoting it, which was cool to see. And so they stopped airing the show, like I said before, in late 1990s on the Sci-Fi Channel. And I don't think it was syndicated after. So later on, the show was released on DVD. So I started buying them. And now I have the whole collection. I have all the episodes, the special features. I do have a few VHS tapes of special features. Like they had the original commercials for certain episodes. So I have the DVD now. They just re-released it when the movie came out. I think it was 2014 with Johnny Depp as Barnabas Collins. I saw the movie. It was like a parody. It wasn't like the soap opera, because it was kind of weird. I mean, he played it very well, Johnny Depp, that is. And there was a few cast members from the original soap that made cameos, and that was Jonathan Frid's last acting role. And then he died not too long after that. So I haven't had a chance to watch the show on DVD. I've watched other stuff, so I will resume. Start at the beginning. And from the history of the show, Barnabas Collins was not there the first time. First, it was kind of gothic. It was kind of dull, but it caught your interest. And he was not the first supernatural being there. The first one was a ghost. And then the second one was the Phoenix, and that was portrayed by Diana Millay, and she died earlier this year. And she was, like I said, the first supernatural being, and that storyline was very interesting. I liked that one. And then once she died, Barnabas Collins came, and he was released from his coffin. And that was a high point of that episode. I never get tired of watching that episode when he was released and he would grab Willie Loomis by the neck. And you know what was coming. So, yeah, that show is still popular to this day. They have conventions. I don't know if they had one last year because of the pandemic. Hopefully they'll continue. Not many cast members are alive, but they still continue to appear. And the fans are there as well. Okay. So let's talk about something else. I posted another thing the other day, and it was about the Dutch Mill Candy Company. And the post was a store display of a box of candy, but the candy was made out of wax. And I remember seeing that when I was a kid, when they have displays at stores, and they weren't real. They looked real. I mean, to a kid, it looked real. So I'm glad I found that. That was interesting. I remember Dutch Mills vaguely. According to a website, it was established in 1927 and was first located at Diversey Parkway in Chicago, about east of Western Avenue. And so after that, it expanded to other locations, and there was one located about one door down from the State Lake Theater on State Street in Chicago. And I don't remember any of those in my neighborhood, in the neighborhoods that I grew up with. But they also did not sell candies. They also had ice cream. And I had a menu here, and they had made ice cream sodas, sundaes, ice cream, or you have a banana split. That sounds wonderful. And so, yeah, a lot of people remembered it. There was another candy store that was called Demet's Candies, and that was owned by, I forget his first name, George, I think, and he was a Greek immigrant, and he opened his first one in Leloup, probably in the early 20th century, and they were around for a while. And my favorite candies of all time would be turtles and anything mint on it, which, by the way, Fannie Mae is still in business. And like I said before, my favorite candies from there also was turtles and mint Mellow-Ice. Oh, with the mint cover and chocolate, I love them. I can eat a box full. So Dutch Mill Candy, excuse me, went out of business probably in the mid-80s. There's still collectibles on eBay, like boxes, Valentine Day boxes, heart-shaped boxes. And it's an interesting company. There was another candy company called Andy's Candies. I'm sure that was founded by another Greek immigrant. Those are still around, but not the stores, but the actual candies, which they specialize selling mint. And I still love those. And another one I remember was Dove Candies, like another Greek immigrant that owned it. And that was located at 60th Street and South Pulaski. And they expanded to Oak Lawn. I don't know about other places. And I remember they invented the Dove Bar. And it was like dipped in chocolate with vanilla ice cream. Oh, I still love that. I still see that at stores. I tried a couple of times. It was not the same previously, but a lot of people remember the store, and it was wonderful. Okay, so another thing I want to mention is last night I received an email from a person named Gary Colabuono. I hope I pronounced his name right. And he was the owner of Moondog Comics, and he was interviewed by Dave Plyer on WGN Radio. And he sent me a message and told me that he mentioned my podcast and my blog, which I'm very appreciative, Gary. Thank you. I'll send you a message to thank you. And he was talking about comic book stores, and I still visit almost every week, you know, buy a couple of things. And he says they're a dying breed because everything's digital, but it's not the same reading on your phone or in your tablet. I want to hold it so I can read. It's more fun reading that. And I'm still a comic book collector. My favorite character is Wonder Woman, and my second one is Batman. I love Superman too. My favorite Marvel character is Spider-Man, but I'm not a big Marvel fan. I like the comic books, but I'm a DC Comics fan. I always have, and I still have a collection. And Gary from Moondog Comics mentioned my name. He has a podcast now and a website. So, and I have a Facebook page called Moondog Comic Land. And one day Gary noticed it and sent me an email, and he said, please post some stuff. I'll send you some things you can post from my personal collection and just tag my name. And I've been doing that ever since. I don't update much on the page, maybe once a week. I just find a particular comic that had a debut of a popular comic book character or a villain, or there was an anniversary coming up, which, by the way, this year will be Wonder Woman's 80th anniversary, and they're celebrating it big. with the new movie released that's on DVD now, which I watched a couple nights ago. I love the movie, but when I have to rewatch it again, because that's how you get hooked on it and you enjoy it more. I seen the first one in 2017 in the theater, and I loved it. I didn't see it in the theater because it couldn't be released. It was delayed for a long time. And finally, it debuted on HBO Max, I think, and you could stream it. So it's on DVD right now. And hopefully it'll be re-released in the theater. I would love to watch it in the theater. There's no comparison to watching it at home. Okay, let's see what else we talk about. I talked about Dark Shadows earlier, and after I mentioned when I saw Barnabas Collins for the first time in that TV commercial, vampires always scared me when I was a little kid. When we moved to Roseland in the early 70s, there was a theater called the Roseland Theater. It was located about 114th in Michigan, maybe 113th place. And my mom and I and my brothers, we used to walk on Michigan Avenue, go to the Roseland Plaza, and they had the National Food Store and the Coven Drugs. So when we passed by the Roseland Theater before we arrived there, there was a poster, and it was a movie called Count Yorga, and it was released in 1970. And he had like a big head with big fangs. Oh, it scared me to death. I tried to avoid it. It was frightening. Another thing I mentioned about scary stuff when I was little is that when we lived in South Shore, there was a skeleton hanging from another apartment across the hall. And when I saw it for the first time, I was scared out of my wits. And I ran inside and cried. And I told my mom, I don't want to go out because he's there. I thought it was a real person. She told me it wasn't, but it was during Halloween. And hopefully my mom didn't go out with me because I was too scared to see it. So my father babysat for me, or she could call somebody to watch over me so she could do her errands. And luckily that thing came down on November 1st and I was okay. Oh, you don't forget something like that. Not at all. And the other thing that scared me is there was a Walgreens on the corner of 75th Street and Exchange, and they had the Halloween masks displayed. And when I saw those, I hated that. I'm not a big fan of Halloween. I never am. The only thing I like is watching scary movies, old scary movies from Universal, when Creature Features was on WGN Channel 9 on Saturday nights. That too was scary as well. So it's for a kid. But now people still miss the show. I've written a story on my blog, and I compiled a video of all the TV ads, and people loved it. They still miss the show. They celebrate the 50th anniversary last September, but WGN didn't do anything. No heart. That's okay. So that's the reason why I wrote the story on the blog, and it was a special anniversary for everyone. They remembered watching the show. They had the blanket over their heads. They grabbed the pillows, and they closed their eyes. But that creepy music when it started, well, actually, it started when there was a coffin opening, and then they start playing the music, which was, the song was Experiment in Terror by Henry Mancini. And that was based on a movie from 1962 called from the same title. And it, so Creature Features aired until 1976, I think. And the first broadcast of the show was the 1931 movie Dracula. And the second feature was The She-Wolf of London in 1941, starring June Lockhart. So then Creature Features ended. And the last movie that aired was, of course, the first movie. It was Dracula in 1931, starring Bela Lugosi. And people still miss the show. They tell me they used to have John's frozen pizza. They would have or order a pizza out and some soda pop, and they just watched the movie. That's a beautiful Chicago memory. Beautiful. Okay. So if you want to, for Moondog Comics, that Gary Colabuono was interviewed by Dave Plyer on WGN last night. I listened to this morning and he mentioned my name and the blog and the podcast. Thank you, Larry. Thank you again, Gary, for the plug. So that's a nice. So that'd be it for today's episode. And this is episode 6. I will be back perhaps tomorrow if I have time. If not, then another day. So this is Pete Costanez signing off for Vanished Chicagoland Stories, the podcast. And I hope to hear from you soon. Thank you very much, everybody, and take care.